Chris, I don't know who you put up to that and how much it cost you, but it was totally worth it.
I think I'm a little traumatized by what just happened.
That was amazing.
Today is the day that I settle all Wisdom Family business.
These days, the comic book owns pop culture. Literature, movies, television, even music. You'll find it all in the panel of your favorite comic book. Us, we're living the comic's life. We're breaking the panel.
All right, folks, this week on Breaking the Panel, Miller World is getting some kick-ass new flavors, Hogwarts starts slithering into the Flash, and Charles is going to preach about his new favorite AMC show. On the panel today, as always, we've got the Jake to my Elwood soapbox, Paul Klotz. We've got our very own Inspector Clouseau in the rock god of podcasting himself, Charles McFall. And coming out of the racks and stacks of his best on wax, how about another old and golden twin spin sound set with BTP on the Giant Size Team Up Network and the dulcet tones of one golden age Brian Ivett.
Wow. All right, that one's epic. Well done, sir.
That was why am I Clouseau?
We ask ourselves that every week. Why you're Clouseau?
Oh, that hurts a little bit. Let's kick it off with a little bit of email. We have an email this week. If you'd like to email us, it's btp@giantsizeteamup.com. And then you can also go to giantsizeteamup.com/breakingthepanel. There is a speak pipe tag right there that you can do. And where is this? Here it is. This email is literally titled VIP Listener Feedback. Hi, boys. Love your little show. Wanted my little pork butt to know that I do listen to him and his little friends. I couldn't get the speak pipe thing to work, so I thought I'd just send you this audio file. Have a great show. And actually, I'm going to pull up my other computer to do the audio file because I did not realize it was an audio file. My apologies. But this is from D.N. Jones is who signed this. So who's the little pork butt? I think I know who it is, but I just wanted to
know. I have no idea.
I don't know.
No idea.
That leaves the one man not denying it. Soapy Box Klotz.
What?
That's not you?
I said I don't know.
No, I didn't hear you say that. I heard.
Oh, man.
I think there were fingers on every nose.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Except for yours, because you're getting your laptop.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm going to get this recording up here. Wait. The last name is Jones. What if it's our own Travis Jones?
Oh, some Blazing Defender.
The Blazing Defender. Maybe he's a little pork butt. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, but it's a D something Jones, right? D Jones was
the first name. D-N, and then the last name is Jones.
Yeah, D-N Jones.
I'm not sure what his, honestly, I know his wife's name. I'm blanking
Duncan
on it right
Jones,
now.
Duncan Jones, director of Moon and the Warcraft movie.
That's his wife.
It's apparently my pork butt.
Wow, this thing's taking forever. We'll come back to the audio because this thing is taking forever to boot up for some reason.
Charles working separate audio. This is a little taste of home for our From the Helicarrier fans.
Oh, why did that stop in the
show? All I'm saying is this show went way smoother when Chris was off on playing G.I. Joe Weekend Warrior kind of thing going on.
That was month-long Warrior, and don't remind me.
Did y'all have to cuddle up naked for warmth? I mean, is that like a standard thing? Or,
you know,
we chose to.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. So how about let's go ahead and hit the kick-ass story because this is taking us up, but it's taking still a minute to come around.
All right, I got it. So as ComicsAlliance.com is reporting, next year Mark Miller and John Romita are going to bring their kick-ass series to a monthly. So no more of the miniseries. We're going to get a monthly title coming out of them. And the biggest news out of this is that Kick-Ass is being replaced. No longer are you going to have Dave Lewiski the normal kick-ass character. Mm-hmm. It's going to be portrayed by an African-American female. So Mark Miller has stated that being older or younger or female or African-American just seems more interesting to me as a writer because this character is quite unique and opens up story possibilities that hasn't been tried in almost 80 years of superhero fiction. What I like about this is he's almost doing what everybody has been every time that we do something, whether it's a female Thor or a black Captain America, the fans rage back and like, you can't do that. There's 70 years of established continuity and you just can't do this with these characters. Well, so now he's looking and my answer to it's always been Captain America is a mantle. It's not Steve Rogers is Captain America. Captain America is not Steve Rogers necessarily. And that's exactly what he's doing here. Kick-Ass is not Dave Lazowski. Kick-Ass is the title. This is who chooses to put on that mask, that horrible green outfit and those yellow gloves. So we have an interesting opportunity here to take a character that's well-known enough but not established enough, I think, to get the rage back. And do something interesting, give a little bit, not only female representation, but some minority representation that the world is clamoring for at this point. It's not just those communities. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it always being portrayed as the African-American community wants this representation. I want some flavor in the mix. Like, I'm all about spice. Give it to me. Let me see what you got. So
you're saying, tell me what you want, what you really, really want?
I am, and it's Posh Spice.
You heard it here. Kick-Ass will be played by Scary Spice in the next movie. You heard it here, folks.
I think I'm a little traumatized by what just happened. Charles, I don't want you to be my lover. So I don't care if you get with my friends.
I have no response to that.
There's none needed.
Yeah. When anybody comes up with, oh, there's precedent you can't change, even when it comes down to Batman and people are like, oh, Batman doesn't do that. Things need to change as society progresses. Mm-hmm. There is decades of precedent of owning slaves. There's decades of precedent of keeping women submissive. There's decades of blah, 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 blah. Things change. We learn as a society. We grow as a society. We see things different. When it came to Captain America, my knee-jerk reaction was he was written by two Jewish guys to fight Nazis, period, to speak out publicly against what was going on. So to make him Hydra and in relation make him a Nazi didn't fit the character to me. I still don't know what they're doing. It's interesting. I want to see where they're going, but that was my knee-jerk reaction. I didn't go, there's 60 decades of president that says he's going to do it this way. Sam Wilson picking up the mantle was awesome. Bucky Barnes picking up the mantle was interesting. I love what they're doing with this reimagining Cap at 75 years. His 75th anniversary is today, actually, I do believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's today, I believe, because it was the Thursday release. Today's Thursday of this week when they announced everything. So I'm thinking it's close. If it's not today, I thought maybe because they picked the
right
day.
Right around the
today.
July 4th, yeah.
Right. So it might be July 4th for all I know, but it's very, very close. So it's they're reimagining. They have Peggy Carter taking the mantle. They have all these other different people. And the one we're getting in MAA 2, the game Marvel Avengers Alliance 2 on your iPad and Android devices, I call them Stingpunk Captain America.
Yeah, it kind of is. Looks like, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just a reimagining. So don't be yelling precedent on something like this. Why not? Why not reimagine? What would be different if we had a female Thor? What will be different if we have a female African-American Kick-Ass? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I mean, Miles Morales is a great character, right?
Exactly.
Like, you know, the ultimate Spider-Man, or the, I guess he's not the ultimate.
Well, he came from the Ultimate Universe.
He did come from the Ultimate Universe. Okay. Yeah.
He replaced Peter Parker in the Ultimate Universe.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the world is big enough for these characters to have multiple iterations and multiple versions and multiple realities. And Kick-Ass is no different. And if they make the story interesting, I'm in, whatever way they do it.
Absolutely. That's always got to be the baseline. Compelling writing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and good art should follow in suit is suit. But if you don't have, if the subject itself isn't compelling, you're not going to have readers. Cause at the end of the day, it's a reading medium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
And along those lines, I almost brought us a story about the new Flintstones being rebooted by DC.
Mm-hmm.
And cause the art is killer. But then as I'm reading the article about the guy who's writing it, it just the article bored me. And I'm not even sure I'm going to read the comic strip or the comic book because the art looks amazing. But then, I don't know, how much can you do with the Flintstones? I loved it as a kid. I think it's a great thing that was done. But, yeah, so your point is well taken, sir. I believe I have our audio ready, so we're going to give this a shot.
Okay.
Let's see what happens.
Hello, boys. This is Travis's mom, Dee. First off, I want to thank you so much for entertaining my little meatloaf and allowing him to be on your show. He has really blossomed since he started guesting. I had been concerned that he was spending too much time creating his videos by himself with only his bronies to interact with and perform for. Since you all came into his life, he seems to really latched on to the idea of having shared experiences with real people and doesn't spend so much time alone and crying into his Japanese hug pillow. I would also like to commend you on the Odyssean amount of patience it must take to deal with his monosyllabic vocabulary, which is comprised mostly of swear words in such an audio-centric medium. Now, to the issue. Sometimes my little chunker likes to show off and says or does things without thinking. Case in point, on episode 34, he went so far as to imply that Chris may be gay. Now, a person's sexual preference is private and of little consequence to me, but I can assure you that Chris's appetite for women is hobbit-like in its frequency. Now, I've met Chris, and I can tell you that no one gets that level of performance with a woman by swinging from the other side of the plate.
Wow.
I promise you all, your muffs, Travi, that in my experience, Chris is the rock god of MILF banging. There is a mean counterclockwise swirl and a twist. You boys keep up the good work, especially Chris. And thanks for being so kind to my little roid bear. Toodles.
Oh, my God.
Been a great show, folks. That's our show. Have a good night.
How are we going to fall?
What just happened? That was I the guess single I have... greatest moment in podcasting history.
I guess I have a fan.
I guess so.
Oh, my Jesus Lord. How am I ever going to follow that one up? Wow.
Chris, I don't know who you put up to that and how much it cost you, but it was totally worth it.
That was amazing.
Today is the day that I settle all Wisdom Family business.
What, Travis? I can't wait till you come back on the show, sir. I just,
yeah, no kidding.
I'm gonna keep this in my playlist.
Pull some funds here and send him some like Vaseline for the burns.
Oh,
because I mean, he's gonna be in the trauma ward for a while.
Aloe vera, man.
Oh,
that was kudos. Thank you. Please, more, sir, ma'am, anybody, more, please.
Well, I mean, she did say hobbit-like intensity.
No, she said hobbit-like frequency.
Oh, frequency. Oh, frequency. I'm sorry.
Don't forget 11sies, my friend.
Sorry.
Second breakfast and all.
Second breakfast and all. Right.
Wow. All right. Well,
let's I don't even know what to say anymore.
So everybody who is out there laughing and loving this and enjoying the crap of it, let's use some of that goodwill to move into Loot Crate, because you know what? Loot Crate, they don't quite bring the awesome that Travis's mom just brought, but they bring plenty of other awesome to your door. For $20 a month, you're going to get a wide range of stuff from Harry Potter to Star Wars to Marvel Comics and much more. This month is futuristic. July is futuristic all the way up through July 19th. We've packed July's crate with items from some pop culture's favorite prognostications. I almost didn't get it, but I got it. Of science and the future. Look towards tomorrow with items from Rick and Morty, Futurama, Star Trek, Mega Man, Valiant Comics, and Star Trek, including a model, a figure, and don't forget the t-shirt, because that's Ibbit's favorite, and the pen. So there you go, man. It's going to be awesome. Go to lootcrate.com/giant-size team-up and enter code giant-size Try it again. Go to lootcrate.com/giant-size team-up and enter code giant-size team-up to save $3 off of any new subscription. You've got to the 19th at midnight Eastern, or then it's gone.
Hey, Johnny Rick!
Hey, Charles.
Yes.
On Loot Crate, what are the delivery options? I'm assuming like FedEx, UPS. There's a third standard one. What's the other one?
See, nobody gets that joke because nobody heard the prep for the show. But it's the United States Postal Service, sir.
Isn't that like your favorite agency?
I hate you guys. I hate you guys right now so hard.
For the folks at home, prior to the show, McFall was trying to look at an article for today's show on a website that launched the same USPS ad literally a dozen times, and it played blaring audio from a hidden source, and Charles was a little upset and used some naughty words. Yes. Basically ate an entire case of soap.
Yeah, pretty much. It was one of those deals. You couldn't find it. You couldn't turn it off. It just kept going. And yeah, it just. Thank you for that trauma. I'm gonna be next to Travis, rocking back and forth in the shower, needing some aloe vera myself. So, Ibbett, please take us to the Flash season 3.
Oh, no, sure. Wait,
Klotz is supposed to do.
Yeah, no, this is Klotz's.
This is Klotz's
speed.
Klotz this one, yeah. Sorry, Klotz. Now, please help.
So there's some exciting news that I don't want to talk about. See, because I didn't bring this article to the table. It was brought for me.
Chris is all about the trolling today for all of us.
I'm feeling the spirit of Admiral Akbar right now. I very feel like it's a trap.
Wait, this may be a trap, huh?
The Flash has added Tom Felton to the cast as a series regular in season 3. Felton is best known for playing Harry Potter's foil, not a Weasley brother, but none other than Draco Malfoy in the Harry Potter film franchise.
Weasley identification is not your strong point.
I guess we'll have to just, you know, get a DNA test or something. According to TV Line, Felton will play Julian Dorne. Like Barry Allen, Dorne is a CSI at the Central City Police Department. However, Dorne suspects his coworker is more than just the good guy he appears to be. So yeah, you know, long story short, nobody's seen this guy in a while, you know, because those Harry Potter films stopped getting made. Yeah. And I don't know what he's been doing since then, because, you know, it must be like BBC stuff. But this is cool. I mean, it'll be nice to see possibly the most obnoxious little expletive deleted of a film. One of the most obnoxious characters in a film I've ever seen.
Yeah, Felton doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's ever going to play the dashing leading man. He's kind of always going to play the kid who drives the Ferrari that you take the girl away from, not the guy who gets the girl. It's kind of like Billy Zabka in Crying Kid.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Or Joffrey. You know, I mean, it's basically...
Oh, no, that kid never needs to act again.
Well, he retired.
You have to after a role like that.
No, he retired. He retired because he said the whole industry and the celebrity cult status thing is just sickening to him. And he wanted his life back, basically.
Well, I can understand that, yeah. But you also played the worst character in the history of characters ever.
Oh, yeah, probably. So. Yeah. That's the thing I was going to follow this up with. Draco Malfoy was once the king of douchey characters, and then...
But he had some heart. He had some heart.
Well, yeah, well, the thing, you realize, you know, halfway through that series that it's really not his fault that he's the way he is, his dad...
His dad raised him to vote Trump. What do you want?
Well, yeah, you know, make America great again and build that wall, all of that business. But I don't think that has anything to do with House Slytherin or the Malfoys. But yeah, there is some, you know, compassion that could be had for such a character. Not for Joffrey. I mean, no. You know, his glorious exit from that series is probably the greatest, you know, pieces of film ever recorded in human existence.
Since Ibbett brought up Zabka, which is great because with Chris, I was right there with you going, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
His appearance, multiple appearances on How I Met Your Mother, redeemed him totally. It was great. And they totally played on the fact they could never get another acting role because of that and all that jazz. It was great.
Now, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, when was Father's Day?
Two weeks ago.
A week and a half ago. Let's say a week and a half ago. I saw both Billy Zabka and, why can't I remember the Karate Kid actor's name?
Ralph Macchio.
They were both here at Comic-Con. At Denver Comic Con, and they were hugging and taking pictures together, and they had their little autograph booths right next to each other. So all is good. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
No. Horrible human beings. Yeah. Like, yeah.
But I'll give you, yeah. So here's my thing about this statement. I used to watch Glee. You guys shut up. It was good for a little while. I watched it. And Grant Gustin made an appearance late in the series. And his character was douchey as hell. And there was an action he took where they would slushy people. That was a dumb thing for the high school, sure. Whatever. He put rock salt in his and slushied a guy and almost blinded him. And I got raged at the show because up until that point, the writers of the show had dealt with a lot of deep topics and the adults had responded appropriately. People responded appropriately, but he has no pun intended. He assaulted and injured a person. And the adults in the show responded with, oh, no, he apologized. So, no, you call the cops. I mean, I was raging. I mean, I stopped watching after that. When he became the Flash, I still had the anger tied to his character. And it took me a long time for me to go, okay, you're actually a really good actor. Because he did a great job at being this preppy guy who had to control everything, who was just bending and breaking all the rules and totally put a dude's eye out. Oh, you know, not literally, and in the show that guy healed, but it was for a while, whatever. I was like, that's something that should have been dealt with and wasn't dealt with in the show. And now, Grant, you have to carry that. I'm sorry. But sometimes you can, after time, redeem yourself with a good character. I'd be interested to see if Mr. Felton will do the same or if he will be the bad guy we all want to hate in the show.
Well, I mean, I think the order of magnitude here is vastly greater, right? I mean, sure, literally, literally anyone who goes to see anything in the theater probably saw at least one of the Harry Potter films and saw him in it, right, and has an impression of him. And I don't, I mean, I guess Glee was a popular show, but I didn't watch it, so I didn't even know he was on it.
Well, and Grant did one bad guy role, you know, in the 80s, that's all Billy Zabka did. Was. Was that same exactly. character in several
he
movies.
A lot of legs.
Yeah. He's like, you hate me now? Wait till you see the movie comes out next month. And the month after that, next year, I got three more.
Right. Well, you know who made that that great switch from playing the bad guy and playing kind of the same bad guy in all the movies and then kind of turned it around and started playing a character you kind of like is James Spader. Like in the 80s, he was all about the bad guy. He was Less Than Zero and not Pretty in Pink, but the Some Kind of Wonderful, playing the same kind of rich snob character, and then kind of turned around for Boston Legal and more recently The Blacklist.
Well, see, The Blacklist, he's the bad guy you love to side with.
He's the good bad guy.
Yeah, which shows off that the government's the real bad guy kind of deal. Yeah, it's Blacklist. Right, exactly. I was so mad. Little side geek note for TV people. I was so mad when Hulu lost a contract to Netflix for Blacklist. Now I have to wait a whole damn season to watch it.
Oh, and this was such a good season. Let me tell you what happened.
La, 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 la. I'm sure it was. Stop it.
Poor Charles.
I will cry in my digital beers. All right. So you know what? We put tons of news, including all of these stories, over on our Facebook page, facebook.com/breakingthepanel, which you can also follow because we link it to our Twitter, which is @panelbreakers, because breaking the panel was apparently too long for freaking Twitter. But you can follow @panelbreakers or look up Breaking the Panel on Twitter and you'll find us there. So whichever medium you like, Facebook or Twitter, we are there with all these news stories and you can interact with us every time. Now I guess it's on to my story because this one is I'm just gushing over this show. I'm very excited to announce AMC renews Preacher for a second season after only 5 episodes. This is exciting. So after 5 episodes, AMC has renewed Preacher for a second season. According to Variety, the second season will expand to 13 episodes and air in 2017. The first season has performed quite well on AMC as the number 2 series on the channel with an average of 3.3 million viewers per episode. So here's the thing about that. Constantine on NBC started at 8 or 12 million and fell to about 4 million viewers per episode. And that wasn't good enough to keep it on TV, on network TV, because they're snooty little snobbies and they like to put their noses in the air. But Preacher, who's only getting 3 million viewers, which 3 million is a lot of people, including myself, legally through the app, the AMC app. I have that subscription, so I watch it through the app and love it. They went, hey, this is amazing. Let's do more of this. So it's really cool. I'm not going to be able to scroll down because the page quit responding, apparently.
Now, were you a comic reader of Preacher, or did you just...
No, go ahead. Go ahead. No, you were dropping out for a second. Yeah. You're back. Go ahead.
Were you... Oh, okay. All right. Were you a comic book reader of Preacher, or just discovering it now through the TV show?
Apparently, in my hazy remembrance.
Yes or no.
I thought I read the comics, but I had not. So I went into it thinking I knew the comics and then realized quickly I'd read something else, but loved it. Love everything they're doing. I mean, it feels like comic book on TV.
What did you read that you thought you were reading Preacher?
Priest, I think it was. It was something church-related with vampires and
Minister Man.
Bible Man, which is unfortunately a real thing.
Hey, you leave Willie Ames alone, all right? No. You leave my buddy Lembeck alone.
Cameron, yeah.
Sure. I'll take it from The Hobbit.
That's what she said.
Oh! He's not even here to defend himself.
Wow.
Wow, that you know, I might just need to schedule him on next week.
You know who else wasn't here to defend themselves? Me.
Fair enough. So Preacher is a special television program we're eager to share with the fans the rest of his wild first season and now an expanded second season. So it's Seth Rogen and Garth Ennis wrote it, but who's with, dang it, and now I pop up ad. That's awesome. So I can't remember who Seth's partner is on producing and writing and directing this thing, but it's so much fun. Have you guys got to check out any of the episodes yet?
Not yet. I'm planning on binge watching when the season's over.
Yep, that's my plan.
That's a good plan. I find myself every week going, oh, when's the next one? When's the next one? But I'm not, since I'm four episodes in now, I've got one in the queue ready for me to watch that I'm just going to keep on with the time. Guys, it is worth your time. Everybody listening, it is worth your time. If you love comic books and you want to see what a comic book should look like on television and how it should be handled right outside of Netflix, this is the show to watch. That is where I'll leave it. So right now, we're going to take a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be back to discuss some changes with DC, some stuff going on, and a bigger change about how I'm listening to DC on screen too much, apparently. And intervention. We'll be back in just a moment. And we're back. So, guys, so we had this discussion earlier. I found this article, one that the guys alluded to earlier, where the ads just kept popping up. And here's a public service announcement. Top two major things that are going online right now with all these news sources and articles. Number one is if I go to your page and the video audio plays and the ad audio plays, which conflict with each other, by the way, and then, or dirtier, you wait for a good 30 seconds while I'm reading the article to then pop up a major ad in front of my face.
Yes.
Stop it. You're getting ad revenue just by me being on your page because it's by views sometimes. If I really like what you're doing, I will absolutely click on your ads because I want to support what you're doing. So stop and running the auto audio ads. That kills me. The second thing is, if you have an article, and a lot of great respectable sites do this, and I just will not share it on Breaking the Panel. It's too much work. If you got an article that says, hey, that whatever reason I clicked on it. Let's say Preacher got renewed for season two and I go there and there's a paragraph and there's a big button that says click to read more because it's a slideshow. That's not an article. That's lazy. And I'm not going to flip through
it. No, it's not lazy.
And number three, get off my lawn.
I want to read. When I go to click to your website, I'm giving you that traffic, right? Yeah. I'm giving you the ad revenue because I'm seeing your ads.
That's totally a clickbait strategy. It's how they get more clicks on the website and get more ad revenue. So don't frequent those sites. Like, don't link people to those sites. They're the devil.
And I want to say something like Comic Book Resources or somebody did that with an article I was going to read. I'm like, you're killing me, Smalls. You give me a paragraph. That's clickbait. You don't do clickbait. You do legitimate articles. Why are you doing that? Stop it.
Yep. Hard pass, man. Hard pass when I see that.
Yep. So the article in question was talking about, it was a clickbaity title, major changes to Justice League because of Batman versus Superman backlash. And I'm like, no, that's not. A lot of these aren't major changes. A lot of these were actually planned. I do side with DC on screen with BVS saying that this was supposed to be a dark movie. No, there are some changes, yes, because Ibbett didn't like it and Chris didn't like it. You know, there are, you're a representative.
Well, it's nice of them to change it because of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are the representatives. They understand, damn it, funny hat guy hated our film. We're going to change it up.
They understand that Ibbett is a multi-award winning podcaster.
That's right.
Shut up, Chris. But no, there is a backlash. So yes, while I will admit, as a human being, there are some changes. There aren't all these changes just because of that, seriously. And then the first article, they're like, oh, the first thing they did was major shakeup at Warner Brothers. I don't believe it was a major shakeup. But then, because I said I don't believe it was a major shakeup, Chris goes, I believe you've been listening to a little too much David C. Robertson. So we decided to have a discussion on DC changes, what we think they are, and why we think they're having them. So I'll let Klotz and Chris rail on me for a second about that.
Oh, really? Wow, this is exciting. Chris, I'll let you go first since you're an in-house DC expert.
Okay. All right. Look, bottom line is, do I think that all of the changes were made because of the backlash of BVS? No. But is it naive to say that these changes aren't happening because of? Yes, absolutely. Otherwise, the ship would have not steered in a different direction. No change would be made because they'd be happy with the not $1 billion that they made at the box office. But they weren't.
Deadpool beat them, by the way.
Exactly. And it goes back to what you and I discussed on a previous show when I said Deadpool proved that you don't need the Chinese, the Chinese market,
sure,
to make money. And you said, but how much money could they have made? And I think that's exactly what Warner Brothers said was, okay, so a few people liked this, enough to get us $800 million, but how much money did we leave on the table by putting this convoluted thing out?
I can agree with that. I can get
behind that. And I think that you bring on Jeff Johns, you get one vision. And David likes to say that he's not the Kevin Feige. That's to be seen. Kevin Feige wasn't Kevin Feige to begin with.
I think the key difference here is Kevin Feige wasn't a comic book guy.
Right.
He wasn't a creative director for comics. He wasn't a writer for comics that took a film company
he was
in
not
the right
joking
direction.
To say that.
Let's not put Johns and Quesada on the same terms here. Johns has an outstanding reputation. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
he is well known to be a great writer. Yes. What's going on with the whole DC rebirth thing right now is being strongly received. You know what I mean? That issue number one there for the reboot being an exceptional piece of comic writing. This is way different. This is something that really hasn't been done before. Now, it has to a certain extent with Marvel, where Marvel let comic book creators be involved in the process. But ultimately, Marvel Studios, was always still a film company first. And they made decisions based on making the best films they could. So this is, you know, bringing a highly creative person who is respected and, you know, lauded in his community and appreciated by the fans, and putting him in a position of authority and creative control and influence. That's a big deal, because this is more of a top level move than I think even what Marvel did before.
Yeah.
So.
And it shows.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, to me, it shows that they are not confident in how much they had the comic book fans' attention on this movie. To me, that screams, okay, we were not true enough to the characters, the printed page. We were not true enough to, and that's why we're bringing this influence into it as our as the guy that's going to put the ships in the same direction. Whether or not he has his fingers in all the pies or not, he's going to establish True North, and that's where they're going to go.
I agree with that completely.
Yeah.
This is a bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it works out. Pays off.
Now, I agree. I think John should have been on board from the beginning. When I heard that it was the two Snyders and I forget who the third person was that was supposed to be guiding all this, I'm like, okay, yeah, but where's the Marvel? Okay, Marvel was Marvel Studios. I mean, they were hands-on in it, making Iron Man, taking the risks. But that, I was a little put off by that, going, where I didn't know fully the name Jeff Johns at the time that I first heard that those three were going to be guiding the universe. Because I am the filthy casual, just so you know. Just throwing it out there. But bring him in, yeah, that's a reaction. And that's a good reaction. It should be. I don't think it was a major shakeup. I mean, when Feige wrestled the Marvel films away from whoever he was answering to and answered directly to whoever he answers to now, Disney Films or Disney President, whatever it is, that was a major shakeup. And yet the terminology on it wasn't, oh my God, major shakeup in Marvel. It was, hey, he finally gets to do what he needs to do. And yeah, this guy was doing it wrong.
It was the same, though. I mean, it wasn't major shakeup. The narrative was a little different. It was more Feige slays the dragon.
Maybe I'm reacting more to the clickbaity of everything. It just gets so old because people aren't like us. I believe the four of us will read an article, skip the clickbait title, and actually make educated changes or educated statements on it. We'll make up our own mind with our history and with our critical minds. I think a lot of the movie-going public will go, oh, my God, that was such a horrible movie. They fired everybody. And that's just not the case. Apparently, yeah. You know, I just say in my neck of the woods, when you're ignorant, that's what you sound like. So, you know, and never mind. I was gonna rip on Wisdom, but I don't know why. I just pulled it back, rein it back. I'm gonna rein it back. There's no reason to be mean to Wisdom. I'm gonna let Travis beat the crap out of Wisdom. I'm not gonna stop.
You don't want Travis's mom to come after you.
Don't try to compete with Chris's voracious hobbit like habit.
But
okay.
Frequency.
So when they come down to when people are like, oh, Suicide Squad went back for reshoots to be more funny. No, they didn't. I love what Ayer said. Ayer's the director of that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love what Ayer says. Like, I have to get more money to go back. And if they didn't like what we were doing, they wouldn't have given us more money. We didn't go back and film jokes. We went back and just fleshed out the film some more.
Right. It's every movie does.
Yeah,
that.
Every
it's
movie
not a reaction to BVS. It's not a reaction to test, test screenings. Every movie does that before it gets released.
Yeah. To me, if that was what he wanted to say, then the silence should have handled it. When you respond to it with that response, it sounds to me like the lady doth protest too much. Especially coming off of BVS and the whole, we're not going to have humor. We're not going to do it the way Marvel does.
We're going to be dark. We're not going to have any humor and that kind of thing. And that was a really dumb thing to say and make as a dictate, a mandate, whatever.
But if then the Suicide Squad trailer hits and everybody's like, yes, that looks fun. Let us see that movie. And then they're like, okay. So the timing, if the timing was poor or bad on that, that happens. There are things that happen and then things look suspicious because they happen after. But I can't say that there's not a grain of truth to it on either side. You know what I mean? I agree with you that it's not all due to BVS, but there are some ramifications that did have to happen, had to have happened because of BVS. And it's just like Justice League is now going to be this super fun, happy time movie. Well, why? Why? If you guys were so locked in with the way you wanted your universe to go, so opposite of Marvel... And that seems to be the common thread. Just like the Steppenwolf scene when he was asked, why did you guys release the Steppenwolf scene, 24, 48 hours after the movie released instead of doing an after credit scene? Snyder's response is because that's the way Marvel does it. So can we do it that way? Stop making your decisions based on Marvel. Put it where it seems natural. If it happens to go the same way.
Yeah. It's not as if Marvel was the first company to ever put an after credit scene.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what I wrote on Facebook.com/breakingthepanel when we shared that headline. Yeah. Was they didn't invent the stinger. They made it popular, and we expect it on sci-fi movies, on franchise movies. Ibbet, you haven't got a chance to say a whole lot. Where are you standing on all these changes and how they're reacting to everything?
I think it's natural. Comic book companies are going to do this regardless of movies, regardless of reactions to TV shows, regardless of how things are perceived. You're going to see changes that are big, sweeping changes to characters, changes to franchises. So it's nothing surprising. We found out about the whole DC Rebirth thing, you know, a couple episodes of Breaking the Panel ago, and talking about the whole the changes to the DC universe and Dr. Manhattan coming back from the Watchmen and his involvement in that. It's just something the comic books do, and labeling it as a reaction to movies, I think, is an over-exaggeration. I don't think it's, you know, it's because of the movies. It may be, there may be some influences that they want to pull from the movies, but they're not going to say we're changing these things around just because of the movies.
Now here's my question to everybody. I do listen to DC On Screen a lot. That's part of our network, Giant Size Team Up Network. Go check it out for DC news. They love DC. They're going to argue with you if you didn't like BVS because they liked it. But, you know, that comes with the territory. They do a lot of great news coverage. And I agree with at least 80% of their opinions, if you know, maybe a little less. But sometimes it's rare that I fall on the opposite side of something with them. I like it by also checking against other sources as well. But are you guys, according to them, Amazon, right now, the number one seller in movies is BVS, the Ultimate Edition. Is anybody here who, like Chris and Ibbot, you two were very much, you didn't like the movie. Are you going to watch the Ultimate Edition?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, this is pre-order stuff, and this stuff changes so much. Sure. As we get closer to the actual release date. Do we know the actual release date of that, by the way? Oh,
yeah,
really? So it's already out on digital.
I think the digital was the... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For sure a rental, because I do want to see the new stuff that they added back in there and give the movie a second viewing with that, but probably not picking up the Blu-ray or the DVD or anything.
Yeah.
I haven't decided. I did like the film. I haven't been collecting a lot of physical movies lately. And if I do, I will buy the Blu-ray with the digital copy so I can have it wherever I am in the world. So I'm not sure. I don't think I own any of the Marvel movies on hard copy. I think I bought digital copies when I did get it. But I absolutely want to see this, to see how the extra 30 minutes really fleshes out the story and makes the connections, and not so much headcanon. Although all my headcanon was positive and made the movie much better. And I came out going, that was awesome. And I walked into our round table and everybody was like, blam, 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 blam. I'm like, oh, maybe it wasn't as awesome as I thought.
I mean, when the producer comes out and says, if you hated it, you're still going to hate it. If you liked
cinematographer,
it.
Cinematographer, but yeah.
You're the cinematographer. You're going to like it. Now, I'm a little hard on the movie sometimes, but I'm the middle ground. I didn't hate it. It's just a movie to me. I mean, it doesn't transcend. It is definitely not the Avengers to the DC side. It's not Iron Man. It's not Guardians of the Galaxy. It's not at that level. Mm-hmm. I wish it was. I'm the DC guy on the panel. I always want good things, but when you don't deliver, I'm going to be truthful.
Absolutely. But I think if we are truthful about the early days of the Marvel films with Iron Man and Thor and Captain America, I did not care for the first Captain America pretty much at all. I am not a period piece guy. It bores me. And I knew he needed that origin story. But until he actually was Cap, I really didn't care about that film. And I would say 75% of that film is him setting up to be Cap. Even after he gets the serum, he's still just doing the tours and everything else. But people liked it, and I will not poo-poo on it. Like it. Thor, I liked. A lot of people kind of poo-poo on it. Iron Man, I liked. It's 50-50 on the audience. I think Superman... The first one that ties into this, the Superman,
Man of Steel,
thank you. Man of Steel and then BVS, I think they're on par with Iron Man and Thor. They are starting the universe. They are making missteps, but ultimately I enjoyed both of those films. Now, should you have to? No, it's your opinion. You enjoy what the hell you want to enjoy, by all means. And I think if you hated the film, which, you know, if I think you're going to watch it because you want more story, but I would have categorized you as kind of hating the film on that side of the spectrum.
No, there were problems I found with it, but I don't know if I'd say hate. I hated Johnny Mnemonic. That's the movie. If we're looking for a movie I hated in life, then that was the one I actually hated and walked out of.
I loved Keanu and I hated that film.
That was the only movie I've ever actually left the theater during the film, but didn't even come close to that with Batman v Superman. I mean, it was It was entertaining, but there were some flaws that that I felt were pretty glaring. Okay. But I do want to see it, and I'm looking right now on iTunes. It's $19.99. I'm actually on Amazon seeing how much the if the Blu-ray's $3 to $4 more, I'll just get the Blu-ray.
Well, at Target that first weekend or that second weekend it's in the store, it should only be $19.99.
Right.
It's probably $24.99 list and then $19.99 on sale.
Yep, $24.99 Ultimate Edition Blu-ray plus the theatrical Blu-ray, DVD, digital DHD, ultraviolet combo pack is at Amazon for $24.99.
See, and that thing, when you're adding in the DVD, which is what I call loaner copy, you're not getting my Blu-ray.
Right. And of course, yeah. Yeah. Give it to the kids when they move
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Yeah. And the digital, I mean, I remember the days of when the VHS tape would come out. And it's just a movie and nothing else. And it was $24.99.
Oh, $24.99 if you're lucky. I remember VHS tapes being like $49, $50.
Oh, my gosh. Shut up. Yeah.
For brand new releases.
See,
it was
I don't
crazy
remember
time.
That at all. That's insane.
It is insane.
Yeah.
Especially if you had two cassettes. If it was a two cassette set.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And when it came to DVDs, I really still had a hard time spending $20 or more for a single movie DVD. And it had some extra features in it. And I would always wait the years it might take for it to get to under $15 before I'd buy it. But now in the age of Blu-ray, when you're talking about having 3 to 4 different copies, depending on how they package it, I'm like, well, you know, you break that down per movie, it becomes very reasonable. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I'll probably rent it first. Because again, I've really minimized declutter as far as physical copies in my life, and I may then I have a hard time spending $20 just for the digital. It's like, if I was spending $20 for the digital,
right. Yeah, exactly.
See, that's
yeah.
the thing. It's yeah. like, oh, for $4 more, I actually get the physical copy that I can give loan to somebody, or you know, and the digital anyway, right? It gives you that. Yeah. Now I'm looking at this like, oh, 3D is like only $5 more.
Yeah. See, I don't have the 3D player at all. So
yeah, same here.
Yeah. All right. I think that's going to be good on that. Guys, not you guys, but everybody listening, clickbait is just that. And it is so damn prolific. It's just.
This is a public service announcement from Charles McFall.
There's a lot of good articles out there, but I disagreed with this one that had a kind of a clicky bait title because it said, it's all in response to the push. No. Nothing's ever all in response to anything other than shutting down Fantastic Four 2 because that was totally in response to the fact that nobody went to see that movie.
Right.
But even reading it, people, we will spin a story here with our own bend, right? I liked Batman. I came hard fighting for Batman when in our round table. And to the point that it was like, stop telling me to like it. It's like, well, I'm not really telling you to like it. I just don't like why you don't like it.
I don't know if that was me. That was somebody, but I don't know if that was me.
Yeah. No, it was a chat. It was some chat that I was responding to something that Klotz said. And you finally came back. It's like, stop telling me to like the film. I'm like, oh, sorry. It's not what I meant to do. My bad. But so everybody does that. It's a human thing, right? But open mind. Don't just take the title for granted. Don't even take the article for granted. Don't even take the beautiful David C. Robertson for granted. Listen to it yourself, figure it out, and read between the lines because there's usually a lot of different things that go on. And I'm very much looking forward to the Flash inside of Justice League. He's always funny. You can't do a Flash film without him being funny. That's his character, right? Mm-hmm. Cyborg, the same way. He's got one-liners. They're younger. They're more energetic and hopeful and upbeat. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing the mix.
Come on, McFall. McFall, quit telling me to hate clickbait.
All right. Wrapping it up. Any last words, gentlemen?
Please click next to see the rest of this show.
All right. I don't really have a closing. Does anybody have a closing? Because I can make one up, I guess. Does anybody have a closing? Nobody?
Don't mess with the bull unless you want to get the horns.
Sounded like a veto.
For Paul Klotz, Chris Wisdom, Brian Emmett, I'm Charles McFall saying it's Trixie's with these hobbitses.
Come on.
Breaking the Panel is the flagship podcast on the Giant Size Team Up Network. You can support the show at patreon.com/breakingthepanel, and you'll find more of our amazing podcasts at giantsizeteamup.com.